Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. You're on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, your podcast, the ESPN app. Where aren't we? You can call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's SAY-ESPN. To grade your team's first-round pick or picks, Giants fans, Jets fans, Ravens fans. Guys, I thought Baltimore had a great first round, actually, until Lamar Jackson tweeted.
When I saw that, I was like, that's not good.
Man.
That's not good at all.
Look at Key.
Key, how's the coffee treating you right now? I know that you never have coffee.
You probably should have put some milk and sugar in that, man, if you're not used to it.
And now you're drinking coffee straight up black.
And I'm chasing it with water.
Oh.
For that, you got to put cream and sugar.
Feels nasty.
It feels like an ashtray. That's what happens. Oh, hey, the best is what, Key, I have to do this all the time. So I have coffee.
Wait till your guts
and
feel.
Sometimes I'll have to jump like on a flight to go somewhere. You know, you put the mask on. I'm like, oh, damn, that's how my breath smells?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Guys, my engineer here, he just was like, I was like, man, I'm tired. He's like, hey, you want some coffee? I'm like,
Stay away from that joint, yo.
Yeah, no, man. But I needed something to pick me up so I could get some Max Kellerman in my life. You know, everything's speeding, moving 90,000 miles an hour. You know? And so, yeah, it's the aftertaste is not it.
Yeah, no, yeah. The aftertaste is not it.
And the crash is not it.
But if you're going to, you know, lighten it up a little bit, throw a little sugar in there. I mean, I do it black because I'm used to it. But if you're not used to coffee, I don't suggest drinking it straight.
No, this is like, yeah. It's just, yeah. I don't know. I'll be bouncing off a wall in about 10 minutes, huh?
Yeah, I would say so.
Second take today.
Guys.
Huh?
I said on second take. When you go on first take.
Oh, yeah, I got first take. Yeah,
you'll be bouncing off the walls. But that'll be good for you. You'll need it. You'll need it then.
Guys, you're
getting screamed at.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not screamed at enough on this show. Now you got to go to another show. All right. Todd McShay, ESPN draft insider, was on Scott Van Pelt last night and said this about who won the first round of the draft.
They needed speed and difference makers, and they got two big-time playmakers on both sides of the ball. And then Jermaine Johnson, they trade back in. All this draft capital, right? We talked about it, four picks in the top 38. Well, they take advantage of it. They move up, and they go get Jermaine Johnson, who I was shocked to see that late in the first round still available. I thought he could be a top 10, 12 pick in this class.
Jets fans, is McShay right? Did you guys nail it, win the first round of the draft? I mean, look.
I say they did.
Yeah, I think so too.
I say they did, man. Todd's right. You got a guy who is easy a top 15 pick. You go back and you grab him, and all he's going to do is his fire now is lit. He's going to be so ticked off at all those other teams that passed him up. You just motivated that young man to show what he's all about. So you added that. Then you get a shutdown corner, something you haven't had since Darrell Revis. And then you pick up a big-time wide receiver that could do a lot of different things for you in Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. So they certainly have added some depth, not only some depth, some playmakers that you can plug in right now and the team can grow with.
See, I hear what you guys are saying on the Jets, and I do think, as it relates to the draft, incredible draft. I just feel like I count draft picks that translate into trades, too. So for me, I'm like, Philly had the best draft. Mm. I mean, you got A.J. Brown. You got a target for Jalen Hurts. You're able to turn that into also Jordan Davis. Like, I think the combination of that, like, are we understating how great of a draft Philly has had because of the picks that we're seeing the Jets have?
Well, not at all.
Hold on. There are two separate things here. I want to stay on the Jets for one second, okay? The Jets, like, I think we have to decouple something here. One, there's a properly evaluating players. Whatever you think Joe Douglas and them have done here with Zach Wilson, whatever. The second thing is the basic philosophy and plan. Key, I don't know how, like, what their grade's going to be on evaluation because we got to see that. The whole thing is Zach Wilson, like, what happens there. But in terms of their plan, guys, they had Becton. They had their quarterback, right? They add a quarterback. Then they add another offensive lineman in Vera Tucker. Then they sign offensive linemen. Now they have a draft where they get a pass rusher. They get a guy to go catch the ball. to defend the guy who goes catches the ball, and then the pass rusher. Key, the plan and the kind of architecture of it seems to be first rate, and ultimately it's going to come down to what Zach Wilson is, right? That's going to determine this stuff.
Absolutely, but the thing is when you got all this other stuff around him, Zach Wilson can just ride in the car and doesn't have to do a whole lot until he's ready to learn how to drive. You know, he's right now, they're teaching him how to drive by sitting in the passenger seat.
Nice car, though, they're building him, right?
Eventually slide him into the driver's seat in student driving, and then you let him kind of park the car, teach him how to park a certain way. That's what they're doing by building the way that they're building, because in all honesty, they're building a solid defense. They are building a solid defense with a couple offensive players that can make some plays. Now, here's what I would say they may want to do in the second round. Mm-hmm. This next couple picks is go get a running back now.
In the second round?
Well, they can find one in the second. Maybe there's one hanging around in the third. But they need to go get a strong running back.
Drew in D.C., grade your team's first round pick or picks.
Yes, sir. So I am a Commander fan, and I will give them a B+. But first and foremost, good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
We doing good, brother. We doing good.
I'm doing all right. I'm drinking coffee. I'm doing.
You gotta see Key's face.
You can see Key's face.
Hey, keep the wet wipes around. Very close, man. Keep the wet wipes close, man.
Why does everybody so coffee do that to you?
It does.
Check your stomach.
Man, I just ran to the bathroom, but it wasn't a run. It was like, you ever see those power walkers? Yeah. You know, like the one out there, the old ladies, when they power walk really hard, Key, with the hips, he's swinging side to side.
Just because
I had like
three cups
of
coffee, that was my run to the bathroom.
I got two words for you, Key. Bubble guts. Oh, but anyway.
Jay, was you hobbling around like Lamar
now
was?
Y'all tell me.
Lamar Jackson waddled to the toilet?
Okay. He's going to have to run out of the bathroom and drive us right down the field like Lamar Jackson.
That's good advice, though. Keep those wet wipes around, Key. Keep them around.
Yeah, but I think the Commanders, who did they, off the top of my head, who did they grab? Because I
did Washington.
They traded down and got Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver from Penn State.
Oh, so that's right. They did. Yep. I think that that's fine because if whether they're not able to sign McCorn or maybe they move on from him or whatever the case is, they got a guy. Let's assume they signed and they got two guys now. Two guys that could do some stuff. They went out and got a quarterback in not Mitch Trubisky, but in Carson Wentz. I know a lot of people aren't high on Carson Wentz, but when you have a dominant defense, Chase Young should be coming back healthy. Jack Del Rio knows how to dial it up. One or two plays, big explosive plays, run the football, play defense, you'll find yourself right in the thick of things again.
Myron in Nebraska, who's your team and what grade do you give him in that first round?
Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to hear your take on the Chiefs and the Packers. I know you guys have spent a lot of time on the Jets and the Giants, who are years away from a Super Bowl. I wanted to know your take on the Chiefs and the Packers not taking a wide receiver when there were four prime ones in the top 12. And I know Keyshawn said that that Aaron Rodgers is a good groomer of wide receivers, which is true, but I don't think he has time late in his career. He needs a playmaker right now when those two teams are a step away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he does need a playmaker right now, and there's no question about it. But what I would say is there's some receivers that's hanging around, and there's some receivers in free agency that haven't gotten signed yet that's still hanging around. So they've got plenty of time until August, September to get something done. Between now and then, I'm sure they're going to find one or two receivers that's out there that they're comfortable with. As far as Kansas City goes, they brought in MVS from Green Bay, who's a home run hitter. They got Juju Smith-Schuster. But the one dude out of all of them, and I like him even more now because I had him on First Take with us yesterday, and I had a chance to just sit down, talk to him, interview with him, have a whole conversation with him. Travis Kelce, I muck with him 155%. Just his whole attitude, his swag, just all that. They don't need no other receiver. They got that dude, man. They got him. And having him is a lot. And I didn't even mention Mecole Hardman And they can still go out and get somebody else in these rounds that's coming up.
Yeah, so they got a corner, the Chiefs did.
George Karlaftis, right?
In McDuffie, and they got a pass rusher.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs did very well. Because when you talk about, Key, that team, you think offense a lot. And what they just did at a very good level with those two picks was get a guy to, like, you know, an edge rusher and a guy to, not a shutdown corner, but a real corner.
Yeah, and their defense sucks at times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And their secondary sucked at times that cost them some games or made it harder on the offense. So when you addressing the defensive side of the ball in the secondary and a pass rusher to help the secondary, because no matter who you are, you could be the best corner in the world. You can't hold up for 6 seconds, 7 seconds. They will find you in 7 seconds. A quarterback will find you and kilt you, K-I-L-T. So for them to get a pass rusher to put the pressure on the quarterback and then a corner that can shadow somebody, that's a big win for them.
Let's go to Corey in New York. Corey, what do you got?
Corey.
Hey, Kiwi.
Man,
hey, guys.
What up, Corey? I love it.
Do you not like me, Corey?
He loves you.
No. No.
Why are you calling me Kiwi then? It hurts my feelings.
Hey, I got a thing for you if you don't like coffee. I'm not a coffee fan either, but I grew up on a dairy farm, and I do coffee milk. It's a splash of instant coffee. And then rest milk, and for my sugar, I add syrup because we make maple syrup here.
Sounds disgusting.
I use syrup as my sugar, and it's fantastic.
Oh, that sounds so bad.
Sounds delicious.
Syrup and coffee.
It's the same thing as sugar. But
is that why you called in, Corey, or did you call to talk about football?
Have you ever had?
You're not going to convince me of no coffee, nothing.
Wait, Max, have you never had syrup?
What, like a simple syrup, you mean? Just like melted sugar? Or actual syrup, like maple syrup.
No, he said maple syrup.
No, I'm not messing with that.
You don't like maple syrup?
Not in my coffee.
Oh, not in coffee.
But you never tried it.
I think actually I have.
No, you haven't.
I've had a lot of weird coffees because every day someone comes up with a new thing, you know, battery acid in your coffee. Now, I just want
battery acid.
You know, people are always putting wild stuff in their coffee nowadays. Butter coffee.
Oat milk, man.
Yeah, oat milk is good.
Oh, that's sort of, you know.
Little oat milk ain't bad, though, Key, if you don't want to do the dairy, you know.
Nah. Wait, Corey, what are you going to say about the Cowboys, Corey? Corey, you still there?
Cowboys for not getting Johnson, so the Jets came up and traded in to get Johnson. So I want to thank the Cowboys, and I wanted to hear on Keyshawn's thing on A.J. Brown, or Tennessee did.
Oh, A.J.
Thank
Brown.
You guys.
No, I think that, so one, the Cowboys, they felt like the offensive line was a little more important to them because they lost several players on the offensive line, and so they went out and got a big lineman that helps them up. You know, the Cowboys, they love the linemen. Defensive-wise, they've hit in the later rounds on defensive linemen historically. So I'm sure that they looked at that and said, this is a long list of defensive linemen that are here in this year's draft that we can get in the later rounds. In terms of the A.J. Brown situation, it's a win-win for the Philadelphia Eagles, no question about it. I think they add a big-bodied, thick receiver who still can pick him up and put him down. They get a guy like Devontae Smith, another riding partner, along with Jalen Rigger that I still believe can turn things around. So you got two guys and you got a complimentary guy, and you got a young quarterback in Jalen Hurts that's fun, that will go out there, who led a team to the playoffs in his first year as a starter. So they won. Tennessee kind of lost because now you got Ryan Tannehill and you got a young receiver that they still got to try to figure out what Treylon Burks is all about.
Mike in Brooklyn. What you got, Mike?
Fellas, how y'all doing?
We doing
what's
good.
What's happening,
baby?
Man?
What's good?
All right, that's what's up. I think the Giants did an A. You know, Neil, you know, he's an Alabama offensive lineman. You know, they all got chips on their shoulders. So I think he's going to run over a whole lot of people. And Thibodeau, my man is holding court. You cannot come to New York week and not know how to handle the media. So I think we got a winner right there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the thing with Thibodeau, is I caution, and I hate to do this to you, Max, because I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, you're going
to
bring me back now after you?
No. As a player, as long as somebody, and I think Joe Judge and company and Martin Winkdell, the defensive coordinator that was over in Baltimore, came over, who's had and coached not only as a defensive coordinator but as assistant some pretty good players on that defensive side of the ball, I think he'll light the fire underneath his ass and get him to play, unlike Mario Cristobal did at Oregon. Mm-hmm. He kind of didn't really – he pacified him to a degree. The problem that I caution with, just like you just said, you got to know how to handle the media. But you also got to know when it ain't just about the media in Park Avenue and Madison Ave. That's the problem that I have with Thibodeau. Don't get caught up in New York, the bright lights of New York. Don't get caught up in that. Because you got to take care of business on the field before you can make the move to off the field.
Yeah, then they love you.
See,
you
he gets caught. He a little bit caught up in all that old limelight, and I'm with Clutch, and I'm rolling. And you got to know that.
You saw that a little bit yesterday on NFL Live where he literally – Laura Rutledge.
No, that was 2 days ago.
2 days ago, Laura Rutledge was like, yeah, do a cold open on NFL Live. And my man just off the cuff was like, yeah, you know, okay, Ron Thibodeau, blah, blah, blah. Like, literally crushed it. It went viral, crushed it. But that can also get you in trouble in this market if your performance on the field doesn't match what you
said. They love you if you back up, if you talk and back it up in New York.
Oh, it's great. Oh, it's going to be great.
The biggest thing there is. Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. I helped. I ain't even going to say I helped get the Jets to the AFC Championship game. I'm still eating.
Yeah, right?
So I get that
part.
They
love you if you perform under pressure in New York.
That's true. No question about it. And it's a big win for the Giants. I just know that if you don't and you get caught up in all the hoopla because he's with LeBron James's partner and Maverick Carter along with Rich Paul, agency at Clutch, that's who he's with. So sometimes – you can overvalue your off-the-field stuff if you're not taking care of business on the field. That's my only issue.
Here's
with
what
him.
I love as a Giants fan, okay? They got, not out of high school, but as recently as mock drafts, early mock drafts, the Giants got a guy in Thibodeau who was number one on early mock drafts, right? They got a guy in Evan Neal who was number one at a time overall. People thought highly enough of both these guys to put him at number one, and they got him both in the same draft. That's a big win for the Giants.
On the point about Thibodeau off the field, he could be, like, if things work out, like, the projection is Michael Strahan, guy who is a defensive
end
in New York. Like, that's
absolutely
what he wants his career to be.
Absolutely.
On
absolutely
the field, off the
absolutely
field.
Absolutely. On and off the field.
Yep.
But he also could be, well, give me one from the Giants. He could also be Cedric Jones that they drafted back in the day.
Key,
if he don't take care of business.
Key, if Michael Strahan doesn't win that Super Bowl, does he have the post-career that he has now, or is it lesser? Did the Super Bowl and the setting of the record with Favre and all that, did that help him get to where he is? Like, does Thibodeau need to win a Super Bowl in New York to get to the Strahan-level post-career?
No, Michael Strahan post-career was going to be what it was going to be because he was already a made man, even in New York, even though if he hadn't won a Super Bowl, he was already a made man because he's so likable and he's a nice guy and he carries himself a certain way. He's a handsome gentleman and he was fun. He's like a fun guy. So they were never going to dislike Michael, right? He was going to always be that guy. What it did is it pushed him and put him over the top even more and made him bigger than what, you know, he would have been if he was playing in some other small little town.
And to get those jobs that you're talking about, Evan, like Michael Strahan's crossed over and everything, one of two things. Got to either win a Super Bowl or be a Hall of Famer or both. And he was going to be a Hall of Famer, right, even without the Super Bowl. But now he's got both. So the dude's got both. He's got everything. But I think Key is right because he was already a great player even without the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair to say.
Joe in Denver. Joe, what do you got for us?
How are you?
Joe
in Denver.
Hello?
Joe, man.
Yeah, you're on live, Joe.
Is your Bluetooth working?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys.
You got to put your seatbelt on when you get in the car.
The Commanders at a C.
C for the Commanders.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was kind of silly to trade back just to get a few more picks in the middle of the draft when Kyle Hamilton was sitting there at 11, and we could have picked him up
It would have been great because we have no secondary. It would have been perfect for him.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Who am I talking to right now?
Joe in Denver.
Is this the same Joe in Denver who told the call screener when you called in that you gave the Commanders a B, and now that you're on the air, you demote them to a C? Have they made another move since you've been waiting online?
No, I thought I had said a C. I was actually going to, while I was waiting, going to give them a C minus because I feel like you didn't need a receiver.
Good thing we didn't have you waiting any longer. You give an F.
At 11. We had plenty at 11. There was the guys out of Ohio State still there. Mm-hmm. Williamson was there from Alabama. You know, if we wanted a receiver, we should have stayed at 11. We didn't really need to move back and get a couple picks in the third and fourth round. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. Because if you see it, see, when you're evaluating somebody, just because one thing is fanfare doesn't mean that my board doesn't tell me everybody is equal or I have a guy slightly graded higher because I like his pedigree more so than I do somebody else. So I know that we like him and somebody else doesn't. If I can slide back, pick up some extra picks and still get my guy, that's smart. There's nothing wrong with that. That's genius.
By the way, as a Giants fan, I can't help but to think that, you know, that Micah Parsons deal where they passed on that, and they get, and when Chicago jumped up to get,
let it go. That,
we just can't be
if
happy.
If Kayvon Thibodeau turns out to be Micah Parsons, because we could have had Parsons and Evan Neal, so Thibodeau now has to be as good as Parsons to make me happy.
I swear to you, Max, if Martin Winkdale can light the fire underneath his ass,
yeah, he'll be great.
The kid is really good, man. I've been knowing the kid since junior high. He's really good.
Martin Winkdale.
I'm tired. I'm using the Max.
Hey, Doc Rivers. By the way, that's what I do stuff like that. See what the coffee does to you, Key?
Yeah, I'm Max Kellerman now. I was a little tired. So anyway, so if he covers him on the defensive side, then right, Jay?
Mark Ringendale.
Yes. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Key, just relax. Relax, man. Relax. I know you played in New York a long time. You're a little high strung. You just got to relax.
Every now and then,
I like
you're
going to
botch some names.
Yep.
Keyshawn.
Like don't worry, Max had it right.
Key needs coffee every day.
Narnia.
I love this version of Key.
Narnia McNutt.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 months. Visit commercial. 6 months, oh, I said. Hold geez. On. Six
what?
Minutes.
What is 6 months?
By the way. 1,000 years ago, today? Progressive was getting it for you in 6 months. Nowadays, they get it for you in 6 minutes. Progressive Insurance. 6 minutes they give you a quote.
Okay.
Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. A former GM gives his draft grade.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and Mike Tannenbaum, our very own KJM GM, is with us now. What's up, Mike T?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So, by the
Mike, was that your cell phone buzzing there?
No. Mm-mm. It was, making sure that I wasn't late because I know that you would find me. So I knew
that buzz anywhere, Mike. I know it.
By the way, the 2022 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio. Second and third round coverage begins tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And Mike T is going to be part of our coverage on ESPN Radio. You're in Vegas now, Mike. Look, what do you think about the Jets getting Sauce? And they get their wideout in Wilson. They trade back when Jermaine Johnson's still there late in the first round. They had quite a draft, it seems to me, quite a day one.
Yeah, I thought they had quite a night. I thought it was interesting. You know, I'm sure when they were sitting there at 10, they had to think about, hey, do we take Garrett Wilson, this talented receiver, or do we go with Jermaine Johnson? And probably a pretty good discussion there. And for them to be able to trade back up to get Jermaine Johnson was obviously just a great moment for them. And they still have, you know, a meaningful pick tonight at the top of the second round. So that Jamal Adams trade really paid off. And we had a chance to sit down with Sauce Gardner. And I'll tell you what, he just seemed like a guy that feels like he's ready for New York and has that moxie.
You know, Mike, that's what I thought when they drafted him. The first thing I said is, I said, if he is going to be the next Darrell Revis, he has a personality that certainly could lend himself to Madison Ave if the Jets ever get things turned around. And speaking of a guy that can lend themselves to Madison Avenue, the Giants went and got Kevon Thibodeau from Oregon with their pick. What do you think, along with Evan Neal, what do you think about their draft in the way they handled things?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I like Jermaine Johnson's game a little bit more, just in terms of, I thought he was a little bit more rugged against the run. And Thibodeau, you know, we got a chance to interview him as well, guys, and he has a magnetic personality. I just don't know if either guy knows what they're going to be dealing with in New York. But if I'm a Giant fan, I'm really excited because this guy, if they could get it out of him on a consistent basis, is long, he's twitchy. They've been desperate for a pass rusher, it feels like, forever. I mean, Azeez Ojulari's been okay, but you know, Thibodeau's on a whole nother level. And then the other thing, Key, that I really like is you can go back and watch Evan Neal. He played right tackle. So now with the improvement of Andrew Thomas, I think the Giants have two really good frontline offensive tackles.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike T, go ahead, Key, go ahead.
No, I would go. I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you, Mike, watching Lamar Jackson last night with all the quote tweets, everything coming out about this team letting go of Hollywood Brown, what are your thoughts on that, if that affected the organization?
Yeah, it does. I mean, guys, you guys know better than I do. Like, this is how people communicate in 2022. You know, players that we all follow scrub social media, and that becomes, you know, newsworthy somehow, some way. And I think job number one, Jay Will, if I was them, is somehow, some way, let's get Lamar under a long-term deal. So let's take that pressure point off the table. And, you know, I would candidly bring him in closer and say, hey, like, these are really hard decisions. I'm sure Tennessee did not want to trade A.J. Brown, but they made a decision that we can't afford him and we'll go draft Treylon Burks to replace him. And likewise with Marquise Brown, I'm sure part of it was strategic planning and cap. And I think for key players like Lamar Jackson, like, hey, you're going to be here, but some of your teammates are going to graduate, and here's why.
Well, Mike, if watching around the league, even just with the Aaron Rodgers situation, you know, a year ago with Brian Gutekunst and the lack of communication, I get the way that the Ravens have ran the organization, been first class, but why wouldn't you communicate that to your franchise quarterback before that move was made? Or am I mistaken? Was it communicated?
Well, one, I don't know, but I can tell you, and I'm not perfect, and I think, you know, Keyshawn may have some thoughts on that at some point as well. But it's sometimes hard to do, Jay Will, because you may go into the draft thinking there's a 30% chance we're going to trade Hollywood Brown, and then all of a sudden you're offered a first-round pick for him. I think that's a trade you have to make. And if you look at Baltimore, they came out of it with Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Lindebaum, two really rock-solid players that will be 10-year players. They'll get a receiver. I thought they made good moves, and I think maybe they thought about getting to Lamar, but sometimes you just don't have that opportunity.
Mike, I want to ask you, Mike Tannenbaum, our NFL front office insider, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, I want to ask you about the Falcons pick, though, right? I love Drake London. I don't necessarily like the fit for the Falcons because they lose Calvin Ridley for a year through suspension. I felt like if they were going to do a receiver in that spot, they needed a home run hitter, not a 50-50 ball guy, because they got Kyle Pitts for those sort of things.
I totally agree with you on that. And here's the other interesting thing, Key. Like, to me, I see Drake London. He's a point scorer. Like, he's Mike Evans. You know, he played basketball at USC. I love him. I think he's a high floor, high ceiling. I can't say enough good things about him. But, you know, Marcus Mariota may walk the bases loaded. So I'm with you. Not only do they need a home run hitter, but who's playing quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they – who knows? It's difficult, and I understand Arthur Smith had a certain style at Tennessee when he was the head coach. I mean, the offensive coordinator there, they necessarily didn't have home run hitters at the receiver position. They had a bunch of bigger, you know, bigger, stronger guys. So maybe that's what he wants.
Mike T, as always, excellent. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. You know, I know we've been talking, Jay, all day about the first round, but naturally my mind goes to the next round. Just as a Giants fan, I saw the Jets trade up and get Jermaine Johnson the second. I'm thinking, like, can the Giants do something like that, or is there someone sitting there high up in the second round that they want?
So it's interesting because what the Jets did moving up to get Jermaine Johnson,
yeah,
you feel like you give them an A-plus because they made moves, right? They took the best available talent, but they also made moves. Where it feels like with the Giants that you give them an A because they took the best talent there.
They didn't mess
but
it up.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like they've made moves. So it's like what is additional –
give them an A yet in the first round because, to me, I'll tell you why. You had two high first-round picks. Okay. You passed on Micah Parsons in order to get one of them, right?
That's the last regime. Okay, new regime now.
But like, how much lower than an A can you get if the guys are available to you there? They didn't choose the draft order, you know?
Yeah, true, but I mean, sometimes people fall to you where they fall to you. You never know how things go.
And they did it right. They took Thibodeau first, and then so either Neal or
and we have a history of seeing people mess up doing the obvious, in my opinion.
No doubt. But what I'm saying now is I'm looking, and I was like, you know, you had some linebackers at the end of the Linderbaum. Of course, the Ravens wind up trading down and somehow getting –
they
the best
always
guy
get Hall
two
of Fame
different
talent like
positions.
That.
Right, they may have gotten two Hall of Famers.
They always do that.
It's unbelievable.
So Ravens.
But I'm looking at, you know, Malik Willis is the obvious quarterback there, but N'Kobe Dean is still there. Mm. And he was the leader of one of the best defenses in the history of college football. When I hear something like that, like he's the leader of that defense, I don't care about the measurables anymore.
It's the spirit.
N'Kobe Dean is sitting there. Well, the Giants really need a corner. If you can get a decent corner or a guy with greatness inside him, give me the guy with greatness inside him.
So you go for the spear or the defensive end instead of going for a guy like Malik Willis?
Well, or Andrew.
I wouldn't go for Malik Willis. And I see the
no,
talent,
me neither.
But I wouldn't do that.
Me neither. But I think if you're talking about corners, there's Andrew Booth Jr. and there's Kyler Gordon both out there. But what I'm saying is if you really liked Ajabo before he got hurt, ooh, he might be a minute to get back, but think about that. But when I look at N'Kobe Dean, I'm thinking the dude has greatness in him. I don't care about need. Get me the great player.
You know what I love about this? This is like a Madden exercise. This is like you and I seeing guys play a couple of times. Let's be honest.
100%.
We're talking about every damn sport. 100%. Nobody's doing deep research on it. Like, let me
YouTube.
Tell you how this guy fits in this team.
It's YouTube and name recognition. But what's more fun in Madden than drafting?
There's nothing better than being your own GM. You can't fire yourself, but I can fire Joe Shane real quick.
Damn right, but they know more than us for once to do it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Damian Woody with us this morning. Morning, Wood.
What did he say?
Wait.
I just want to make sure. Did you say morning, Wood?
I did. His name is Damian Woody. But I said good morning.
No, you said something.
Well.
Yeah.
Hey, phrasing.
Okay.
It was awkward.
Morning, D. Wood. Is that better?
That's better.
All right. Maybe not, though.
We're building.
No, not morning. Still awkward.
All right. Okay. See, Jay's.
All right, Damian. I'm a child. I'm sorry.
Grow up, Jay.
Never want to grow up. It wasn't me. Is that how you felt? Now, did you? You didn't catch yourself at first, right? It just naturally happened.
Oh, I caught myself.
No, he did. I got to take people behind the scenes on this one. Max immediately said it, hit the talk back button, and goes, "Did I say Morningwood?" He said it immediately.
Yeah. And then Jay caught it. Oh, I thought they got in your ear, Jay.
No. I caught it. Yeah, no, I caught it.
Yeah.
Jay got in our ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took me a second. But
then
I
think you were right. I cleaned it up. Morning, D. Wood.
Yeah.
No.
That's true. Oh, sorry.
That
no, really, is that worse?
No.
That really cleaned
oh, is that worse?
Up.
Sorry. I thought I cleaned it up.
No.
What should we talk about in this segment? So this is the Choose Your Own Adventure. You get to vote and produce this segment for us. Kyrie was tweeting. That got 12%.
Kyrie just wasn't tweeting. Kyrie was going berserk.
Yeah, Kyrie was talking about part of the story about being covered as an athlete in the media that you and I and others, Jay, make a living by invoking their names, including Kyrie's. And that part is true. That's part of the story. And part of the story is the athletes also make a living because the media pays a lot of attention to them and tells their stories.
And
right?
Fans pay a lot of money for tickets and merchandise.
No doubt.
So it works both ways.
And the athletes are increasingly gaining control of their own stories by pushing back with the proliferation of media, especially social media, good for the athletes.
But anyway, they only got 12%, so we're not talking about that.
I will continue telling you the percentages as soon as they're back on my screen.
There they are. Now they pop back
Where will Malik Willis go? 13.5% want us to talk about that? We don't know yet. 16.5% say CP3's perfect game, and he deserves love for that.
14 for 14 from the field. I mean,
4 for 4 from the line?
Are you kidding?
You know, when you're on a list with Wilt Chamberlain, who is 7 foot playing against 6 footers, and you're 6 feet playing against 7 footers. Oh, anyway, the point guard. 58% plus want us to talk about NFL draft grades. Highest grade that you gave a team in the first round, Jay, was what, A-plus for the Jets?
I also gave an A-plus to the Eagles, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know we talk about the Jets and the Giants. They're in our backyard. I just, you know, for where this team was a couple of years ago with Carson Wentz and how things have flipped and turned for Howie Douglas, I mean, we were talking about him in such a negative light, and now – turning that into A.J. Brown, seeing what Jalen Hurts can do, turn that into Jordan Davis, and now hearing a lot of people talk about how they may be the favorite in the NFC East alongside with at least to compete with the Dallas Cowboys. Wow.
I'm happy as a Giants fan because Mel's last mock had the Giants at 5-7 getting Charles Cross as a tackle and Jermaine Johnson II as your edge rusher, and I was depressed. I was like, come on, you might be able to get those guys a little later on, which turned out to be the case. The Jets grabbed Jermaine Johnson, trading back up into the first. I thought the Ravens had a hell of a first round, trading down and coming away with Kyle Hamilton, who at different points was considered the most talented guy in the draft, and Linderbaum, who had the highest grade ever from PFF as a center coming out of college. They got the two best guys, not that they're premium positions, but the two best guys at their positions in the draft.
One cleanup very quickly before I move forward, because I caught it myself. I said Howie Douglas. I meant to say Howie Roseman. I just combined Howie Roseman
and
Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, they had good drafts.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they both
but
had
see,
days.
I knock, don't judge me on this one, but I knock the Ravens draft back just a tad. Mm-hmm. I'd probably give them a B+.
Of Lamar
the lack
BMF.
Of communication.
Yeah,
and I got, we have Mike Tannenbaum on the show and says that, Jay, well, in real time, it's hard.
It's
to
fair
always...
if you're saying draft day. What kind of a day did you have? Not just a draft, but the draft day resulted in Lamar Jackson being upset. That's not good.
And I get that there were reports, not our own ESPN reports, that, you know, there was a little bit of friction there. with a guy like Hollywood Brown and obviously seeing Lamar Jackson and Rashad Bateman work out and everybody projecting that Bateman's going to be a number one wide receiver. The talent is there, how special he is. But still, at the end of the day, just having your franchise quarterback quote tweet you saying, what the blank.
That's not a good day, you're
it's
right.
It's not a good day.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You grade your team's first-round pick or picks, Eric, in North Carolina. What grade do you give your team? First of all, who's your team, and what grade do you give them?
What's up, fellas? I appreciate you taking my call. My team is the Carolina Panthers, and I could not be happier with the pick that they got. They needed to improve the offensive line. They did that. Plus the free agent signings they have. Now, if Sam Darnold can have more than 2 seconds to make a decision, he's just got to work on not throwing it to the other team. Jay Will, you are the man. You worked with my uncle at Duke, Bobby Searle, and we wanted to say hello. You are the point goat at the Blue Devils, baby.
Oh, thank you.
Have
brother.
A good one, guys.
I appreciate that, man.
Appreciate you. All right.
I want to provide some context very quickly here on the whole Hollywood Brown scenario. So RG3, who was a teammate in Baltimore a couple years ago, tweeted this last night at 1:24 a.m.
Damn, RG, get some sleep.
Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown weren't just teammates. They were brothers. True South Floridians through and through. Never seen a bond like they had on and off the field.
Damn, son.
I know that trade hurt in more ways than just football.
Got to pay attention to the relationship that a quarterback has with his wideout, man.
You know, if you understand it, and obviously that's extremely visible, right? You can see relationships as a guy in the front office. I can see it. Prime example, KD and Kyrie. You know what time that is. You've seen the history. You've seen guys back each other up. You know if you were to remove Kyrie, that would create inevitable friction with KD. It's almost the same thing here with these two. Knowing what it is, not communicating
that.
The
teams that get it are putting the guys together. Remember, it started with the Texans. They took DeAndre Hopkins away from Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun had his own problems separately. But okay, that he create of his creation. But okay, they took him away. What? Really? You're doing that? Look what just happened. Hollywood Brown's out. Where is he now? Mm-hmm. He goes to Arizona to play with the dude he played with in college in the air raid and Kyler Murray. Joe Burrow. What'd they do for him? They went and got him Jamar Chase. That's your guy. Oh, you should get him. Penny Sewell, you need to get him a left tackle. Nope, we're getting him his guy.
Tua, who's not even at the same caliber of level quarterback that Lamar Jackson is, they went after and got his guy.
So this trend is, hey, young quarterbacks, we're going to give you not just a safety blanket, really good player, but a guy you have chemistry with. And then there are other teams, I hate to say it because it's a very well-run franchise, like the Ravens, who they're like, we're taking this guy off. Maybe they intentionally didn't talk to him because they thought he would create too much interference and blow it up. Maybe it was an intentional thing.
I know, but if you're the Ravens, I mean, you have to go and get a guy like DK Metcalf, don't you? I mean, you have to make your quarterback
happy. The Ravens
happy.
And Packers are interesting. They have certain similarities. They're very well run, but they don't do the thing that the fans want or even necessarily that their quarterback wants. They make the kind of sound football move. I don't know if they get him a DK Metcalf.
Do you think that DK Metcalf's value has gone up?
Do you
think he's going to be paid more because now he's going to be in higher demand?
Yeah, because he's not a burner or a 50-50 ball guy. He has everything.
Yeah.
And looking at what these guys are getting paid and the fact that we're already into the second day of the draft, I think the Seahawks are sitting pretty right now with that asset.
Morning, Wood.
It's morning, D-Wood. Come on, Jay. Don't be misconstrued. All right. Greeny is coming up in a matter of moments. We're back Monday at 6 a.m.
Come on, Memphis, get it done!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.